All
go.
Right, Gene, you ready to be counted?
I'm ready, Gene.
Ready in Chamesh, Alba, Shalosh, Stein.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hmm. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Okay. You get hyped when you hear that song? You should, bitches. I spent $100,000 for DMX to do that.
That's gotta be the most money DMX has ever made, right? And that's, don't tell him I said
How
that.
Dare you? You are so funny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With me is Sarah Tiana. And yeah, I mean, what a fucking perfect. I love you. I've known you for so many years in the stand-up community.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Because now, look at you, man. Look at you. We grew up.
We did together.
Together in this city. You're you're now a mother. You have an adorable 8-month-old boy. You're a head writer on a show I'm not allowed to reference. But let me tell you, she's so funny. And you're doing all kinds of things in your career. Yeah. And I'm so fucking proud of you, man.
Oh, thank you. That's why you're such a good friend, because you do. I love you too. You always tell me how proud you are of me and anything that I do. And like, I just feel like you're such a good cheerleader, especially for women. And like I watched you a lot. You know, we came up together, but like, I think it's still important to look up to the people that you're still, that you're coming up with, and like
always.
Watching your star rise has been
you're
so
adorable.
Fun. And even though you don't ever text me back or call me, I send you letters and they get returned. It says return to sender. It's in your handwriting, so I know that you got it. But, you know, I still think it's so nice that you let me come on your podcast and listen to rap.
Yeah, rap. Thank you.
Rap,
that's a really
music.
Touching homage.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many things I like about you. One thing I'm a little weary of is your gender trading ways. Now, when I say that, why don't you tell the audience what you're wearing and why?
So, I am wearing a Braves shirt, a Braves hat, and some leggings that I put on 2 weeks ago when the Braves started the playoffs.
With underwear, I hope.
I'm not wearing underwear because I did not realize. I was like, and then we won the game and I was like, well, I got to wear this again.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I'm not. And then we won again. And I was like, well, now I can't not wear this until we lose and we have not lost yet.
So, babe, but seriously, you don't wear underwear with the leggings.
I never normally wear underwear with leggings because they're so tight.
So you mean to tell me the reason?
So I'm basically wearing underwear for like 2 weeks. Now, I don't wear it all day. I take it on and off, so I only wear it during the game.
Oh, okay, and that's how
which
the...
Which is 8 hours. No, it's not. But you don't know the difference, so I thought it'd be funny.
I don't know the difference. To me, those games feel like 8 hours. My husband is into football, and that feels like an eternity.
Yes.
Because not only is the game multiple hours, and then the after show, mm-hmm. where the out-of-shape players talk about the game we just fucking saw.
The retired players.
The retired out-of-shape players, sorry. And then they have their stupid jokes that aren't funny. And is baseball the same way? Where they
Except that it's longer and not as much action. Yes. You don't know anything. It's so funny because you remind me, I have a friend named Chike who's British, and he was at a Dodger game with me one time. And my biggest pet peeve is people asking me what's happening in the game. Like, I don't want to explain baseball to you when I'm just trying to, because I keep score. Like, I go to games by myself. Like, I'm very into it, right?
And what do you bring to your games? Hold on. Remember you used to bring in your...
Oh, my ranch seasoning. I bring that to movies. I have brought it to baseball games for the right, popcorn.
I've referenced you before on the show.
But it's delicious. And I think, and I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I'm not wrong. Wrong, girl. You're not
it's
wrong.
It's very good on red vines. No, it's not. I don't put it on there. But if it accidentally, it doesn't matter. So anyway, he
asked
me.
You go alone.
I go alone normally, but he happened to be there at the game and I was sitting with him. And then he asked me the funniest thing one time. He's like, how come when you run to first base, you're out, but if you walk there, you're safe? And I was like, oh my God, I think you just explained baseball in like the simplest term. And and so I always think of you when I think of him. Like, to me, your two brains are synonymous. I'm just like, no, you would be very fun to go to a game with because you would just be criticizing everything around the game. Like, I would only be watching the field and then you would be watching everything else.
You know me very well. You know me very well. Be like, what's that fucking guy doing? Why is that person doing this? Where's my hot dog? Don't they have Dodger dogs at this game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dodger dogs are so bad. I don't know why everybody thinks they're so good.
Get the fuck out of here.
You don't even care.
Did you see that? Was that a good throw?
No, it
Sarah.
Wasn't a good throw. You, buddy, it was good enough to make the Dodgers team right now. So
totally. Like, I care. Like, I care.
They're beating the shit out of us right now, so it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where do you go? Where do you watch these games here in
Well,
LA?
Right now, so my baby daddy is a sportscaster. He's also a big sports nerd like me. And so we have three TVs set up in the living room. Usually one has baseball, one has football, and one has basketball or whatever. So we can watch three games at once.
He
usually.
Must have the biggest boner for that. That a woman that
loves... I let him?
Sports. Well, like, yeah, because when like with Tom, I'm like, just go in your cave, watch that shit by yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll entertain the kids. Don't make me talk about it. He tried getting me into football for so many years, and now he's just resigned to the fact that I don't care.
He asked me one time, care. He was like, how can I get Christina to like football? And I go, why do you want her to? Yeah. Like, I wish my boyfriend didn't like it, and I could go in a room by myself and just watch it.
Oh, really?
You
know? Why?
And I'm sure he probably wishes that, too. Like, as fun as it is to watch the games together, I'm sure he wishes he could go to his cave and just jerk off and do whatever he wants.
Oh, he does
watching
that
watching the game, you know?
He does that anyways.
But, like, I'm always there. You're like, come on, you know, like,
oh, you're screaming. And do you get upset if he doesn't scream at, if Chris doesn't scream at the same things you do? Or
we're usually screaming at different things anyway, because we have different stakes in the game. So like he does a lot of gambling on games. Mm-hmm. So he's sometimes we're cheering against different things.
Got you. Yes. And that frustrates you because you just want to focus. Yeah, I you know, because there are episodes of
here we go
of my I like that show Rita on Netflix. It's in Danish, and I have to read the subtitles.
Oh, right.
And if my husband is there, don't you? It's a good show, actually. She's like a saucy teacher.
Oh,
yeah,
fun!
She's got an attitude.
That looks fun.
It's a really good show.
And I've watched a lot of foreign, like, true crimes shows on Netflix.
You know, I can't do true crime because I'm so afraid it's going to happen to me.
Now I can't because I have a kid. Before I had a kid, I watched murder all day.
Right.
All the time. So much Law and Order, so much true. It didn't matter what it was. Now I'm like, I'm terrified of everything.
Same. Yeah. And I can't watch a show where the kid is getting hurt or kidnapped or even an animal getting hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope.
No, can't do it. Not interested. I know.
Oh, so before we forget, you have a podcast, This Week in the 90s, with your beau, Chris.
Yes.
And what's that about? I like that.
So we just love the 90s because we grew up in the 90s, and there's so much that happened because it was before social media.
Yes.
And it was kind of just a lot more fun. And so we just started, we were talking about it one day, and then we just decided to do a podcast about it. So we take This Week, so the 7 days that we're in, and then we can pick any year from the 90s and just kind of tackle that year. So
that's so great.
This year he talked about some guy that like approached Mike Tyson at a bar in Harlem to try to get money back, and then they got into like some sort of fight altercation, and I'm like, let me tell you two things I'm never gonna do: confront Mike Tyson,
right,
or go to a bar in Harlem. You know, like, those are like two things that there's no fucking way. So anyway, right. So we just talk about like random smaller stories and like kind of dig into them, you know, Steven Seagal with Under Siege coming out, you know, whatever the movie was, sometimes it's music and
Yeah, that's so funny because I was watching Scream the other night, and what a great movie that was. And what I particularly enjoyed was the way the teenagers talk to each other, because it was brutal. Like nowadays, the kids are so respectful.
Right.
Like, even in, I like teen genre stuff, so I'm always watching it. I mean, back then they were like, "What are you, fucking pussy faggot?" Like, right? Like, Jamie Kennedy was talking to his friend, and they're like, "God, quit being a pussy. Just fucking lay her, bro. Just rape her at the party."
God,
like,
what's wrong with you?
God, yeah, stop it. Like, they're so mean.
You don't take your dick out, you're a fag.
Yeah.
Like, what? What is happening? Yeah.
And it was all about, like, him pressuring Sydney to have sex, and, like, that would never fly.
No, not anymore. Yeah, there's so many movies that would never get made anymore.
Oh, what about Heathers?
Oh, Heathers.
I think that was one of the most formative movies.
Fast Times at Ridgemont.
Well,
like,
great movie.
You know.
What's her name? Amy Heckerling, who did Fast Times.
Oh.
Look it up. She's a brilliant female director. She did Fast Times, Clueless, all these great teen genre movies that I think today they would just S their panties. Amy Heckerling. Yeah.
Oh,
this,
nice.
This is going to be you,
Even
dude.
Her photo, it looks like it's from the 80s.
She's
That's
rad,
great.
Dude.
Side ponytail.
Oh,
dope.
So this is you,
Clueless
though.
Was such a big deal when I, you know.
Oh, even that movie's vastly inappropriate. It was like, oh. Sex and stuff.
Excuse
so,
you.
Oh, an abortion. Fast Times at Ridgemont High was about her getting an abortion. And she actually goes through with it, which you never see, even in like Seventh Heaven. By
and
the
they
time
they show the doctors in there doing it, right? Yeah, I remember. Am I confusing
crazy.
That with Carrie? Is that not what they poured over her head at prom? No?
It's her abortion.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Here you go.
I get all my movies mixed up.
Abortion's wrong.
Anyway.
Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, there's so many great. Well, I Know What You Did Last Summer came out this
great.
Week.
Great. Good movie,
you know?
Too.
And I don't even. We even were just talking about the poster and just how, like, it's always like all of their pictures,
yeah.
and there's like a it's black behind them, but you just see their face and then like part of their boob. You
Let's
know?
See it. And by the way, very gratuitous titty stuff.
Of course. Look at Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like everybody was going to see that movie because her boobs are front
huge
and center.
Tits. I mean, she had a whole career based on her titties. They were so amazing. Same with Rose McGowan. She's in Scream, and man, I mean, the way they dressed her was like. Is this a P-O-R-N? Okay. I'm a mom, guys. I can't watch this.
I'm a mom. Oh.
So anyways, let's get to mom chat because that's what we're all here for. So let me tell you what's really interesting. And I was just remembering when you came on That's Deep Bro, the last time you were on that show, and it's in this RSS feed. If you want to go take a listen, it's been taken off of YouTube because of violations of music. I used to play music at the top of every show that wasn't copyrighted.
Oh, I thought it was because of something I said.
No. Could you imagine, like, it's Sarah's fault.
I assume it's always me.
My coccyx is loose, and so it hurts.
That's been a problem way long time, though, ever since I met you.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, like, God, did I forget? No, it's baby problems. Second baby made that happen.
No.
But when last time you came on the show, you were in a really different place in your life. You had just broken up with a boyfriend, and you were in this dating world, and you were really just like, I don't know what to do. Like, it felt like your life was just so, do you remember?
I don't even remember.
So you
it feels like so long ago, but yeah, I'm sure.
It wasn't, I feel like it was maybe
5-6 years ago.
No, maybe two and a half, three max.
Oh.
This is back in my old house in Woodland Hills. We were taping in the house, and that house we just left in February.
Really?
The point being, you're in a vastly different place. And I thought to myself, this poor girl, I love you so much. And I want, and your life just went.
Yeah.
You got the guy, you got the baby, you got the career.
Yeah.
Now, how'd you meet this guy? What happened?
So I met him at the Comedy Store, actually, because one of our old managers, Chris Burns, had started working on the Rich Eisen show. And that's where my boyfriend is, like the sidekick on that show. And he brought him to the Comedy Store. And I saw this guy on the patio and I was like, that's my boyfriend. And it took me like 6 months to convince him. And
that's my boyfriend.
I was right.
Yeah.
He is my boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, he was just wearing this Boston Red Sox hat. And then I found out he was a sportscaster. We started talking
sports. Oh my God.
Sports.
And did you get total panty pudding when you were
me,
like,
for sure. I was like, this guy is, he was so cute. He was like tall, drink of water, like just, I mean, he still is. He's, I still think he's so gorgeous every day I see him. Aww. And so it took a long time. He really, I think he wasn't really in the mindset, and he also had no game whatsoever. He,
those are the best ones, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine because I, like, I know he's never going to cheat on me because he just doesn't even have the capacity yes! to do it, you know, like where you're like, so like 1 week he was being so crazy nice to me. And I was like, God, I can't figure out. He's just like, it's obnoxious. Like, it's a little much. And my friend was like, do you think he's cheating on you? And I was like, oh my God, no. I was like, he's either going to ask me to marry him or he has cancer. Like, yeah. Those are the only two possibilities. Like, there's no way. Like, he has no way. He couldn't even plan how he would,
yeah,
even, you know. So anyway, he would just send me like texts that was like, how's your day? And I'm like, it's good. And he's like, great. And I'm like, I'm not having a conversation over text. Like, I don't have this kind of time. I'm not going to just like get to know you.
Well, what
over
did,
a text
what did
message.
You want him to do? Like, hey, come just like court you?
No, I wanted him like, to just say like, hey, do you want to go have a drink here?
Oh, right. Let's just talk like, and face to face.
Talk face to face or just give me a call or something. And yeah. Then like it just so happened that he started following me on Twitter. I know this is weird. And then I was like making jokes about the Grammys one night and he was too. Or I guess he was like following it on Twitter. And then he texted me and was like, and I had always said that like Dave and Buster's like my favorite place or something. And so like that I could beat him at like any game at Dave and Buster's. And so he was like, we should just quit watching the Grammys and go to Dave and Buster's. And I was like, this is exactly what I was like.
Yes.
At first it took me a second to even remember who he was because it had been like 6 months. And then I was like, oh yeah, yeah. I was like, and I was in my pajamas. I had just gotten back from Minneapolis doing the club there. And I was like, oh, I'm riding in my pajamas, but if you want to do it tomorrow. And I said at like 6 o'clock so that I had an out because I knew I had a show at 8. And we went on and met up there and I just like never looked back.
And did he go to your 8 o'clock show with you?
No.
Yeah, that's smart because you don't want them to see you.
Yeah. I think he saw me that night at the store. So he knew I was funny, but he just like, I don't think it was like the best set of my life, but he also texted me the day after Valentine's Day, so I was like, don't think I don't know what you're doing. And he goes, you like that? And I go, my birthday's tomorrow, you like that? And so then he came to my birthday party and it was just kind of on from there. Like we had like some ups and downs because I like he was not ready to commit or be in a relationship, and I was just like so confused. I'm like, we're so good together, why don't you just want to say boyfriend? But he's just a very slow paced person. And I'm not. So it really helped balance me out because I'm just like, I love you, you know?
Yeah. We're going to do
like,
this.
Yeah. You know, once you've turned a certain age, you realize it starts to become more important what you don't want. You know what you don't want the older you get. And that is like, forget about what you do want. Like, because no one's perfect because you're not perfect. So there's no such thing. And so, at the moment I pulled back and slowed down, everything just was wonderful. And then
the lesson? Like, yeah. I'm listening to you, and here's what I love about this is that you saw him and you were like, you're my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But you didn't push the issue.
No.
It sounds like you hang back, and eventually they come sniffing in your yard. Mm-hmm. And I do believe in you let out the hanky, which mm-hmm. is what you do. Hello, sir. Mm-hmm. Here's my handkerchief, Yana. Uh-huh. If you'd like to pick it up, you mm-hmm. may. You
up to you, whatever you desire. Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
But I just don't believe in women like pursuing the man. I think it goes against.
Oh, yeah. Nature.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's not. They need to be the guy making the decisions, you know. And what I think I ultimately realized is that what I want more than anything in life is someone I can brag about and be proud of. And I found that in him. Like, for me, as a, like, men like to be taller, they like to be stronger, they like to make more money, and they like to be the funny one. And I take two of those away, sometimes three, depending on how often you drive for Uber.
Funny,
you
know? And what? Strong.
Yeah.
You're stronger than Chris?
No. He's taller than me. That's about it.
And then you got, wow, that's a lot.
They like to make, you know. I'm just saying that, like, but he had no issue with me being funnier or making more money. Like he had so much self-confidence that it didn't really matter, and he really liked what he did, and he was so focused and he worked so hard on it. Like, he's just like an encyclopedia. You can ask him anything about, like, you can be like, who won the World Series in 1953, and he'll be like, oh, it was this team and they played the, you know, it's like, it's incredible.
And you so love it.
I finally had somebody that brought something that I was missing, which, you know, like, I know a lot about sports, but I don't have a memory for it. So I just have a really bad memory, and he can remember everything, which isn't good in a fight, but it's good anytime else.
I know. Tom has an impeccable memory. I think he might have that kind of memory that the lady from Taxi Driver does. Do you know where she's, they're like, what'd you have for breakfast 1971, May 5th? And she's like, I had eggs and toast. Mm-hmm. Tom is really eerily able to recall everything.
Wow.
And unlike you, I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't remember what I had yesterday.
I have two children. I'm exhausted. So then came, did you guys decide to have a baby, or was it like a fun oopsie? Okay.
Well, a year before we had an oopsie, and then you just start going, I'm like, I mean, I'm not getting rid of, I'm like 30, at the time I was like 38 or whatever. I'm like, or I was like, no, I was 40, and I was like, I'm not going to
get an abortion.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Unless you have like five kids already, it does seem kind of.
Yeah, it was like, so I didn't even know it was possible to get pregnant. I had never even had an accident. You know what I mean? Like, I never even had a situation. And my doctors had told me, like, oh, you have a film over something, like some ovary or I don't know, like fallopian tube. And like, we'll have to remove that if you ever really want to have a baby. And I was like, oh, I have like this natural diaphragm. Like, no wonder I've never gotten pregnant. And, yeah, and then we did, and then I think it lasted about 8 weeks, and then I lost the baby. And by that time, we had not seen a doctor yet, but we were just like kind of like, then you start thinking about it, and you're like, oh my gosh, well, interesting. And then I think if that hadn't happened, and it was a really awful miscarriage, it lasted for like 2 months.
Oh,
and it was heavy bleed. It was like insane. I gained all this weight. It was like very depressing, and but we were moving at the time. We had just decided to move in together before any of this happened. And it was just kind of crazy. And he was so amazing through the whole thing. And it just made me go like, man, if this were to happen again, I would not be upset at all. And so after about a year, we started talking about it again. I was like, I just want to go to the doctor and see if everything's working right. So just to see where I stand. And so I went, and the doctor was like, if you want to have a baby, you have to start yesterday because you're old as F. And so I was like, what? And I went home in tears expecting Chris to break up with me, because I was like, listen, I'm going to have to do this, because if you don't want to do it, I totally understand. You have an out. I'm not going to be upset with you if this isn't what you want. But as a woman, I feel like I have this ability to do a magic trick, and I'm not going to not try to do my magic trick.
Right.
And I have to explain everything to him in sports because he doesn't really understand anything else. So I had to be like, I'm kind of like Tom Brady. Like, I don't want to stop playing, but my body's not going to let me keep playing for much longer. You know? And so he was like,
I actually know who Tom Brady is. So yeah, I know this reference. This is the one reference I know.
So anyway, he was like, all right, let's just try it. So we made an appointment to do IVF, because my doctor's like, you're going to have to do IVF right away. And that was like 3 months away. And the second month we got pregnant on our own. And then
that gave me the chills, because that's always what I hear people say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the minute you make that appointment and you're like, I'm going to try it, IVF, you get pregnant.
And I had never I had the Glow app. I had never looked at my period and looked at when I ovulated and tried to of course, I had never tried to get pregnant before. So it was second try. It just worked. And then we were like, okay, let's not get too excited, because we'd already had a bad experience.
It's horrible.
So it was so nerve wracking for like a whole month, you know? And then we just basically kept the appointment that we had. And that was like our 8 week, it was about 8 weeks, and there was a heartbeat. And we were like, okay, well, we're not going to get too excited. Wait till we see it again. And then we saw it again and again. And then now he's here, and he's like the best baby ever. We just, it all flew by, and it was the longest experience ever.
It's simultaneously like a short thing and also the longest when you're pregnant.
The days are long and the years are short when you have a baby, and when you're raising a baby. And that's kind of how my pregnancy felt too. Like, it all went by super, super fast. We had a baby moon in Paris, and people in Paris could not have been nicer. It was the most incredible experience. Like, everywhere I went, as soon as they saw I was pregnant, they were like, right this way. I never waited in line. I never had to stand anywhere. It was so incredibly nice.
I've read this, that they see pregnant women as, like, you're on a nine-month vacation. It should be a nine-month spa. I read it in, like, Bringing Up Baby, Bebe, or whatever the fuck book that is. I was like, wow.
Well, they also send someone to your house. The government does for a month after you have your baby, so that you don't have to do anything.
Sarah, America's pretty cool too. I don't know if you've been to Bye Bye Baby. That's one store that lets pregnant women park in the front. So, okay, that is one store that we get to have.
Yeah, that is. You're right. I feel like I'm not.
You're not being appreciative of what America does.
I'm not being a good American.
No.
We're number one.
Number fucking one. I don't know why. That's so funny. I was watching that documentary on the Challenger explosion, you know? And there was this whole thing in the 80s about being number one. We're number one. I remember growing up in this mantra. And I'm like, why did we have to do that? Like, why do we have to compete?
Be number one?
Yeah, like it's not a competition, is it? To be a country is a competition.
Yeah,
like, why do we
definitely
do that?
You're right. That's a very good point. Cool. Because we're definitely, now we use it as a punchline, you know, where they're like, you have the most COVID cases. We're number one. You're like, yeah.
We did it. We're still
least likely to wear masks. We're number one, you know? Yeah.
Speaking of important issues, I brought up on the show a fact that you had given me about Cracker Barrel. And
what did you? You're just bringing up. You're bringing up my hot takes, my facts,
buddy. I rep you on the show because I'm like, first of all, Sarah Tiana has ranch in her fanny pack. Sarah Tiana told me about Cracker Barrel. You told me.
I tell you all the things you need to know.
The important shit that there's no Cracker Barrel in California because of the earthquake.
Well, we just got one. It took them 20 years. Now we have two. There's one in Oxnard, and there's one on the way to Vegas on the 210. If you got an hour, I highly recommend the drive. Because you're so, it's kind of like Vegas, but better, because you're so excited for the first hour, but then you're already there after an hour. Cracker Barrel refused to come to California for over 20 years because California has earthquake restrictions, and they would make Cracker Barrel take all the shit off the ceiling. And they were like, I know it's $1 billion restaurant industry, but you can't have hash brown casserole without a wheelbarrow hanging above your head, you know? Have you ever tried to eat mac and cheese without a hacksaw from the 1800s next to your table? Because it don't taste as good, you know? Yeah.
And they did have, like, roller coasters strapped to the wall.
There's always a picture of some old woman, and you're like, why is my great-great-great-grandmother staring down at me judgingly while I'm eating?
Like grits, and it's so good. I love Cracker Barrel so much when I'm on the road. And also, I like that you can buy Christmas ornaments that are sport related. Like, I get Tom the Seminole Christmas ornaments from the Cracker Barrel store when I go. And
you know,
it's so silly. I love it.
Truck drivers always step there because you could get a book on tape and you can return it at any Cracker Barrel.
Is that right?
Yes. It was such a great, it was a genius move.
Yeah. See, that's what I like about it. It's just like home. And then they got them rocking chairs on the porch.
My sister has two of them on her front porch. When it was like one of those things where you're like, God, I hope one day I'm rich enough to afford a Cracker Barrel rocking chair. Because they were like $125. And I was like, woo! I'm never going to have that kind of money. And now I'm like, now I have that kind. I do have the giant checkers. You know how? They used to have these, it's like a piece of carpet with these giant checkers, and you could play it in front of the fireplace.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember when I was old enough, because Cracker Barrel was the first sit-down restaurant we ever had in my town. It was a really big deal when they came.
Calhoun, Georgia, y'all.
Calhoun, Georgia. We have a Nike outlet. We're right right above All Lives Matter. That's kind of where we are. Right there. And we're right next to, I'd like to speak with a manager. So we're right about right in that, in the heart of Georgia right there. And when Cracker Barrel came, it was so funny because we never had waitresses at a restaurant. I'd never been to a restaurant where there was like, except Pizza Hut, like, had the ladies that would bring the pizza out.
Sure.
And that was about it.
Sure.
You know?
There's no, like,
you still got to get your own soda, you know, in the red cup. But there was nobody that was like, what'll you have? And you're like, ah! Like, I was like so nervous. I didn't know what to say. I'm like, I mean, right now I can have, I don't know. So anyway, it was a really big deal when they came, and there was always a line. Or at least my friends would complain about the lines. And I was like, and that's when I realized we didn't go to church. Because I was like, we always go on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and there's nobody there. Ghost town.
They're like,
They're like, sinner.
Yeah. Because they judge in those parts.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I started going to church when I was in eighth grade because my parents never told me what religion they were. They were always just like, you're smart enough to figure out what you want to be. I think it's because they were two different ones.
What are your parents?
My mom was raised Catholic and my dad was raised like Presbyterian or something.
It's similar.
Yeah. But they just didn't want to, they didn't stay in the church basically when they moved to California. And then we moved to Georgia from California when I was little. And so we just didn't go to a church. And then I guess my mom said that I went to preschool at the Baptist church and they started telling her that like I was going to hell because I wasn't coming to the church enough, and my mom pulled me out of that preschool.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, but then I didn't know any of the stories, and I started going to church in like eighth grade because my friends went and I wanted to go hang out with them, and I had to go to like the beginning Bible school or whatever.
Oh, right, to learn all
but
the
I'd never heard stuff. Any of the stories, so I had all these questions. And I don't know if you've ever been to a church in the South, but they don't really like questions.
Or reading, yeah, to some extent. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And they'd like to just tell you what to think and believe. And so I had all kinds of I couldn't get past the idea of Adam from Adam and Eve being alone in a garden. Like, I just had so many questions about
like
a guy.
He's just this guy.
Is there a guy? What was he mad at his wife? Like, he didn't have a wife yet. Well, wait, you just said. And you're like, well, they had to make her from him. You're like, what? How? And they're like, from his rib. And I'm like, well, rich rib. And it doesn't matter. And I'm like, of course it matters. You know?
And do men have less ribs now than women?
Like, yeah. Like, what is that?
They have one less rib. Is that a scientific thing? I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I just had all these questions and they couldn't answer.
They're not into that.
They told me to try a different church. So like that happened a few times where they'd be like, you should try a different church.
So what are you going to do with your kid? Have you thought about, because all that stuff matters. Like, you don't think about it again until you have children. And then with Tom and I, it's like, well, do we baptize our children? Because we're not really super religious, but it's kind of a cool tradition. And if they want to be Catholic or whatever, now they have the option.
Yeah.
And is Chris of the same faith background as you?
He didn't grow up in church, so he's like not really into it. And I wouldn't mind it. I would love it, but I'm not really pressing the issue. I'm kind of just more like, I'll just let Cage decide, you know, when he gets older, he can do whatever he wants, you know?
Yeah.
I've always kind of been of the faith that like, if I push something on you, you're not going to want to do it. Or if I tell you not to do something, you'll probably end up wanting to do it. So I'm just going to like answer your questions and let you decide.
Yeah, that's true.
My parents taught me to be skeptical. That was like the best thing they ever taught me. And to ask lots of questions. And so
that's smart.
I think I found my way in that regard by asking lots of, even when I went to church when I was older, I definitely was asking lots of questions, and still, you know, they weren't like, very happy about that. Nah. And then you kind of get wise to it a little bit later.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah, it's interesting with children, too, is that, I watch movies, or I remember my parents being bummed at my decisions or who I was, and I was like, that's so narcissistic. Like, when you look at your kids, it is out of your control who they become.
I know.
Who they are, what they like. To try to sway it, or like what you were just saying, like you just kind of have to hang back and let them be who they are and support that. It can be hard in the beginning because it's not for me, because I'm like, okay, you're this mellow kid, great, now
you're mellow,
yeah, great.
I think if you're laid back, your kid will be laid back, you know. I think if you're anxious, no.
Oh yeah, well, our first boy has a lot of energy, he's not anxious, we're laid back,
right?
He's chill in a way, but he's like,
well, that's because he's a boy.
Yeah, he's a boy. Yeah, yeah.
He's also a boy. Yeah, yeah. I love those. I'm kind of hoping. I mean, Cage can be whatever he wants, except he has to play football and not be smart. Those are the only rules. Those are the only rules.
Of course.
You have to like football. You have to like baseball.
But I'm sorry. You just said he. They. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
I know. I have identified him. Yes. I know. Sorry.
Yeah, I gotta
he
go.
Is definitely a boy.
So abusive. Did you have a gender reveal party, as they say, in the abusive parenting community? Yeah, they're terrible.
No, we didn't have a gender reveal because we didn't tell anybody until we found out what the gender was. So we just said, we're having a boy. Like, we just said that was the part of the whole announcement.
Yeah.
No, we bought him a pair of Jordans and we were like, here he is, world. He's going to like shoes and football. And if he doesn't, there's a fire station right down the road that he can go live at. And so he's probably going to like soccer and be smart and ruin my life.
Oh, yeah, no. Soccer. Is there anything worse to somebody that likes American football than soccer?
No, there's nothing worse. That will be him really putting a that'll be him sticking the knife in.
Or wearing like Speedos.
He could be a swimmer. I'd be fine if he was like a swimmer.
Oh,
or
I mean
something.
Like a European, like he liking European things.
Playing soccer in Speedos? That's definitely probably what's going to happen.
Yay. So you were telling me about, do you want another kid?
Yeah. I definitely did not want one until, you know, the whole time I was like, we're just going to have one. We're just going to have one. And because I want to travel still,
with one. Two, it's a little hinkier.
Because, you know, I've been to 27 different countries. I've been to a lot of them by myself. I'm a big fan of just like seeing the world. And I don't want that to stop. I brought Chris into that. He didn't even have a passport when I met him. And I was like, that's like worse than being Muslim. No, I'm just kidding. I was saying that in case my dad's listening.
I agree. If you don't have a passport or eat sushi, I'm like, I don't know you.
I know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have a passport? And he's like, well, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm like, why don't you want to go somewhere?
I know.
And especially escape and leave in case we need to. And he is like, so finally, like, I made him get a passport. I went through the whole process. And then I was like, okay, it's going to be $110. He's like, $110. I'm like, that's for that's $11 a year.
Yeah, it's
like,
fine.
It's so fine. And now, well, we went to Austria for like our first real Christmas together.
Aww.
And then once he went there, he was like, we have to do this all the time. I'm like, see, that's why I'm trying. You know, he doesn't like to try new things. Like, sometimes I have to trick him. You know, like he didn't like hummus. I don't like hummus. I'm like, have you ever tried it? And he's like, no. So one day I was like, do you want some bean dip? He's like, oh, I like bean dip. I'm like, yeah. Try this bean dip. And then he's like, oh, this is really good. I'm like, that's because it's fucking hummus. You know? So
he's like your toddler, because that's what you're going to have to do when Cage is like two, is you trick them. Like, oh, this isn't fish. This is breaded chicken or whatever. Yeah. This is delicious. This is macaroni and cheese with green stuff in it.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, because you're right. Two, I'm not going to lie. It's just, I think until the second one is at a certain age, at least for me, I wasn't one to travel with babies.
Yeah.
There's, to me, it's like, I can't do it. I have so much anxiety around it.
You're afraid to be the person on the plane with the loud baby. That's fun. Yeah, of course. That's terrifying.
Such a dick.
We actually took Cage during COVID on a plane because, you know, we're gamblers. We like to roll the dice.
Where did you go?
We went to Maine and we went to Georgia to see our family because nobody had met him. And it was a very tough time. He was about 4 months old. So we got tested before we left and, you know, did a lot of research. And the planes are so clean. So we were like, as long as we're not touching anyone on the plane, we should be fine. And it was great. We rented cars and drove everywhere. We never came into contact with anybody. No one was on the plane. We got on the plane first. We got off the plane last, got tested when we came back, and everything was fine.
There you go.
Yeah. So it was a great decision. I'm glad we did it. I was definitely nervous the whole time, thinking I was going to kill my baby or something. Mm. But I was just as nervous about how loud he was going to be on the plane,
though,
you know, nope, he just slept the whole time.
Like, can I tell you, because you've had this disease, first of all, I go into like a postpartum depression the first year of both my children's lives. I'm just, I am in the upside down that first year. And every time my children get sick, I'm like, it's meningitis. It's fucking meningitis. And my pediatrician is like, why do you go to meningitis? I'm like, I had a friend who had fucking meningitis. We were in the same place in Kandahar, and she came home with men. Possible to get meningitis from the Poupon to Kandahar.
Yeah.
It's a septic tank in the middle of the space in Afghanistan where they churn the sewage, basically. And it's the poo is in the air.
Yes, I'm not sure if I got it from there or for that. Remember that
Russian
camp that we went to where they didn't have any air conditioning or anything? We had those like ham sandwiches on bread. They didn't have. But remember, you had to, that was where we had the wag bag where you had to throw it in the fire.
Yeah.
And
you think you got it from that?
I think I got it from that because I had to go so close to the fire because I remember mine was full of pee, not poo. You guys were all bragging that you could do the poo in the bag. And I'm not a big fan of the poo. Yeah. And mine was full of pee. And every time I would throw it, it would just fly down my face. And I would just have to like run and grab and get closer and closer.
For those of you who don't know, so in Vietnam, they used to take big drums and put poo and pee from bases and burn poo and pee in these big drums. Now in the newfangled war times, war zones, we performed in war zones together, actually, in Baghdad before, farther than that. And what they do is on this particular, that was a Russian base. Is that why they did it that way?
That was a Russian base. Well, no, they did it because they didn't have, they usually a base would have porta potties and they didn't have a way of emptying them.
So it was
on a FOB. It was like a very remote FOB, which is a forward operating base, which means there was like 120 people. So Kandahar has something like 25,000 people and they supply to the FOBs and the FOBs supply to the patrol bases, which have like 10 guys.
And so, by the way, in Kandahar, not sorry to interrupt you. I got so excited. They had a hot dog stand there. Remember?
I don't remember a hot dog stand.
What's a famous one?
I'm sure
one?
You remember a hot dog. They also had a TGI Fridays, yeah, I think.
It's kind of a Club Med in the middle of Afghanistan. It's probably the best part of Afghanistan.
A huge soccer field. Yeah.
Yeah, those, it was really nice, Kandahar.
The main bases are like small cities. Yeah.
Sorry, so continue. So what you do in these, they're called WAG bags.
It stands for Waste Alleviation something.
Go get it.
Yeah.
So you pee and you poo in a bag and then you have to walk up to an open flame, essentially.
A burn pit.
Which
is what John Stewart has been working with the Senate and the Congress on, because so many guys that have worked those burn pits have lethal, deadly diseases now. Because they don't just burn feces in there, they burn old guns, they burn equipment, and so like all of those chemicals have gotten into their lungs and they're dying.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Anyway,
so the point is that
we should have another baby.
Yeah! So
since the world's so great.
Yeah, so I always would go to meningitis. So just so you know, like even at 4 months old, I just feel like they're so, and then when I had my second baby, my older boy came home with hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Oh.
You'll get that one soon.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, my cousins had that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my baby was like a newborn and I was like, no, not hand, foot, mouth. And so there's always something to be afraid of.
But hand, foot, and mouth is good because they're really lethargic and they'll just like chill and be quiet for once.
Yeah, if they're not crying the whole time.
Why? I'm so, that's so funny that you're worried about meningitis. It was an awful disease. I was in the hospital for 4 days. And
of course, in Georgia, I remember
it started there, but I had had it for almost 10 days. I lost all motor function. I could barely walk. I was slurring all of my words. And then I went to the hospital at Cedars. I went to Cedars and I was like, they were like, what are your symptoms? And I was like, I think I have meningitis. Like, and they were like, you don't fucking have meningitis. They like made me wait 3 hours. And
what did they think you were?
I don't know. They thought I was like, they were like, you wouldn't be walking. And I'm like, well, just because I'm a woman and we're stronger than you, like, doesn't mean that like, I don't know how to muscle through. I've had a headache for 10 days. And I finally told the doctor, you know, like she came in and she was like, why do you think you have meningitis? And I was like, I was in Afghanistan. And she was like, what were you doing there? And I was like, buying a house, you know, like, what do you think I was fucking doing there? I'm like, I just need 2 more goats and then I can get a house. Like, what do you, of course, I was performing.
Enjoying the sand. Yeah, remember the sand
and
the sun?
You know, they have 130 degree weather, and I don't know if you've been to that, but it's lovely this time of year, like vacation. And so anyway, I told her why, and she took it. And the nurse was like, you performed in it, my son's over there. And I was like, and she's like, he said he saw a comic. And I was like, well, if it was a woman, it was probably me. And literally after I got the spinal tap, I was waiting for the results. And the nurse was like, this is you. Like showed me a picture of me and her son. Yeah, it was
I just got the chills.
Yeah, crazy small world. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was us.
Michelin. Is there a tire I trust more? Absolutely not. I have Michelin tires on my car and I have since I was 16 years old. Let me tell you why. My dad was a mechanic and he knew what I know, and Michelin is the best. Safe driving isn't limited to new tires, though. Your family should feel safe behind the wheel driving on tires with 35,000 miles of wear, just as they do on new tires. Discover the new Michelin Cross Climate 2 tires designed to keep families safer for longer than leading competitors. The Michelin Cross Climate 2 tires break up to 56 feet shorter than leading competitors on wet roads and 16 feet shorter on dry roads, even when worn. The Michelin Cross Climate 2 tires provide up to 1 year of additional tread life compared to four leading competitive tires. And when you buy them now, you can enjoy a warranty that gives you 60,000 miles of peace of mind. New Michelin Cross Climate 2 tires. Buy them now. Thank them later. Discover more at MichelinMan.com. Sattva Mattress Company. You've heard me talk about Sattva Mattress Company for years. I sleep on a Solera mattress. I love it because it has two separate compartments. My husband and I can do as we please. He goes up, I go down. We do vibration bed. We do everything. It's fantastic. I have slept on Lumen Leaf. I have had the luxury firm king size mattress. We started with Sattva because we wanted a larger premium bed for a less expensive price. And Sattva has all that. Their customer service is unreal. I know you're thinking, but I'm afraid to buy a mattress online. Well, they give you a 90-day in-home trial. If you don't like it, you can send it right back. And right now, Sattva has this offer. If you go to sattva.com/the shit, because their beds are the shit, they will give you $225 off the purchase of your next mattress. What? sattva.com/the shit, sattva.com/the shit, to get $225 off your next mattress. Aren't they just the best? Thank you, Sattva. You know, I like to smoke weed, but I don't like to get weird and feel super high, which is why I love Cushy Dreams. Cushy Dreams offers a full lineup of premium smokable CBD. They specialize in extraordinary CBD-rich hemp flower, aka bud, and pre-roll CBD joints. They look like joints, they smell like joints, but they just give you the CBD. When there's under, they just have 0.3% of THC. It's cannabis that ships directly to you, and it's legal in all 50 states. Join the men and women who are sick of vapes and gummies and want to smoke their CBD. It's 100% hand-trimmed. Never machine trimmed. They take the artisan approach. Every run is a small batch, which is fantastic. You really do taste the quality. So go to cushydreams.com, K-U-S-H-Y. Get some high quality CBD bud. At checkout, use promo code WMMA for 20% off your next order. Smoke your CBD. Man, I got to tell you that... a total sidebar, but this is before you and I had children.
Mm-hmm.
I had just gotten married, I think.
Yeah, you guys had just, Tom picked us up from the airport and you were like, we were in the shit, Tom. Tom, we were in the middle of the shit, you know, and like, you guys were still living in Redondo, I think. And like,
yeah,
you guys.
But that was like before we were, you know, I wouldn't go do a war zone now.
No.
But I just remember, I'm going to cry even talking about it, that we visited a hospital one time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, why am I talking about this? I'm going to cry. And there was this little boy. I mean, they're boys. They're like 18. Mm-hmm. And this boy, I remember, they make us go into these hospitals to cheer people up, but there are some people that are just so fucked up and sad and have stepped on shrapnel or stepped on IEDs and shrapnel in their face. And this one boy had just, his half of his face had been covered in shrapnel from stepping on an IED like his squad did. And he was like, go away. Like, I remember he was so just like, go away. And I just sat there with him. I ignored his wishes, clearly. And, and I just looked at him. And now as having two boys, like to imagine you're an 18-year-old boy fighting a war. It's just like, it is unfucking fathomable that they send teenagers to go do shit.
To go do a man's job and they're like gung ho and ready. And like most of those guys in the hospital didn't want to be there because they wanted to be with their squad.
Right, because they felt like they were.
Yeah, that's horrible. Why it's also so important. Bob Hope would always do those tours and visit mm-hmm. them in the hospital, and he would offer to call their mom because they always wow. said that was the hardest part. Like, not losing a leg or an arm was like having to call their mom and tell them, like, this is what happened to me. Mm. Like, your worst fears have, like, come true, basically. So Bob Hope would do it for them, and it was, like, this really nice thing. And so just remember, like, sitting with the guys, and, like, you have to ask them what happened, because the more they tell the story, the easier it gets. And it's, like, very hard to listen to. And it's also a good reminder that, like, there are a lot of, you know, a lot of times PTSD is not even from a wound. It's from not being in any action. That's why it's so important to, like, not call these guys heroes, because some people have never fired a weapon, and everybody calls them a hero, and it fucks them up
because they don't feel like one. Right.
They feel it, like, it depresses them, and it makes them upset. And like, but we got to see so many incredible things. I'm so glad that you came out there and did that. I know you'll never do it again, but it was like one of the most incredible experiences. We were in Afghanistan 2 months after they killed Bin Laden. Like, that's how crazy of it. We were in 2011.
So stupid. And now I would never do that. Like, I got two kids, man. Like, I won't even go to parts of L.A. because I'm too afraid.
Oh, I don't blame you for that.
Let alone.
I know. I was in Iraq in 2005, right when we caught Saddam. And then I was in Afghanistan in 2011.
You are so good with the troops. You actually turned me on to doing all this stuff, because you've been very active with military mm-hmm. stuff for years.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's because I came from a small town that had recruiters in the lunchroom. And, like, it was like one of those options that kids always felt like they had to do. And so I know,
not my boys. How do we brainwash the kids, the boys, not
we just
to
gotta
be
tell
into
them
it.
To get into Space Force is the new Coast Guard. Like, if you want to be in the military, join Space Force.
Okay.
Like, you're really, yes, you can have a gun, sure. So you shoot all those rocks in the space. Go for it. Have a good time. You're protecting us from asteroids.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Very important.
I know.
So
man.
That's what you say. When your kids say, I want to be a Marine, you go, you know what's even harder? Space Force. Yeah. Way scarier, way bigger. Yeah. Way bigger, you know.
Well, it's because they make those commercials look like it's an extreme sports camp. Remember those?
They make them look like superheroes. Yeah, that they're going to superhero school.
It is not. They should show them a real video of us throwing our wag bags in
there. I always say Marines are kind of like the Hulk. If you're going to compare them to a superhero, they're like the Hulk. They're big and strong, but they always wake up the next day and their clothes are ripped and they're like, what happened? You're like, you got fucked up last night and beat up a bunch of people that didn't deserve it. And that was just at a bar. It was not in the military. It was not in the war zone.
Right.
With
the PX or whatever you fucking call it. It's not the PX.
That was just at Rockin' Riley's down the road.
Rockin' Riley's. All right. It is time to do my favorite. This is the Michelin-sponsored segment. Today's Driving with Kids segment is brought to you by our sponsor, Michelin, and the new Michelin Cross Climate 2. Learn more at michelinman.com. Oh, yay. We have voicemails. Let's take a voicemail. Oh, you got to put your cans on. I want you to hear these stories. So these are stories submitted by listeners, nightmare stories, or just stories in general about driving with your children. You can submit your own. You scroll down the dump so I can see. You can leave me a voicemail, 213-375-5184, or where my mom's at gmail.com. All right, let's do the first voicemail. These are so much fun. You're going to dig it.
Hi, Dean. Love the show. This is Margo from Detroit, and I was calling to tell you about a bomb car fail from the other day. So I have a 2-year-old little girl, and we're driving home in heavy traffic. So I live in Metro Detroit, traffic everywhere, and she starts yelling, "Mommy, caca," which is what we call poop. So I'm like, "Well, what's wrong, baby? What caca?" And she reaches out her hand that is covered in brown stuff, and it looks like caca. So immediately I start freaking out, being like, well, I'm in traffic. You probably have shit on your hand. What do I do? So I said, please don't touch anything. Show mommy the caca to make her hold her hands up. And then when I was able to, I discovered it was chocolate. So no problem there.
Thank
God. Just look at it, like caca, so good for her. All right. Love you, Dean.
Love you.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say, and then she held it in her hand, and then she licked it, and that's how I found out it was chocolate. Oh, thank God. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, no, don't put it in your mouth for sure. Oh God.
I was wondering, how would she get, I guess she could, they could get their hands into their diaper, but in a car seat, that's kind of hard because they're really strapped in.
Oh yeah. I don't put my kid in a car seat. You do? Oh, I let him be free to be who he wants.
He hasn't chosen his gender and he doesn't want a car seat. We're unparenting.
Hold him down.
How dare you?
To
restrict his
what
movement.
Do you call when your kids go pee pee poo poo? Well, that's what.
Oh,
I
no. I yeah, say? I go pee pee and I got to take a dump.
That's what you say.
I let them say dump because it's not a bad word. It's crass. You, mm-hmm. But you can't get in trouble in preschool for saying, I have to take a dump.
Right. That's
what do
good.
You do?
Well, I haven't, like, now I just go, did you go beep, beep, boop, 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 beep, 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 boop. And he just laughs, you know, so I don't know. He doesn't know what he's doing at all. Like, he still pees when we're changing the diaper.
Oh, that's
fine.
He
pees in the tub every time. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. That keeps going. Don't worry. Four or five. You're in for a world of boy town. And for somebody who's not into Brown like I am, this is going to be a fun ride.
Definitely not a fan.
You should have a second boy, and then.
Oh no!
All Brown.
I don't
want
to. No.
Farts.
No.
Just sit on you.
I'm already
fart.
Outnumbered. Even my dog is a boy. Like I'm like, oh, it's just a house full of.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Jeans. I remember being around 4 years old, asking my mom what the middle figure stood for. The middle finger.
Oh.
Stood for. She sweetly responded that it meant calling someone a jerk. Shortly after, someone cut her off while driving, so she called them a jerk. I then promptly took it upon myself to use my newly learned hand gesture to back my mom up.
I got your back, Mom.
I'm going to teach my kids this one. Yeah. I like this. I think she was laughing so hard that she let it slide, and now we enjoy retelling the story years later. Love you, Mommy. Hi, Tai Gina. That's a really good story.
My friend Camille. Do you know my friend Camille?
Yes, I love Camille.
From
she?
Augusta, Georgia.
Is she
She's
in Georgia?
Great. They just moved back.
Hi.
Her daughter, Vivian. Aww. You know, who Vivian has the craziest Southern accent, even though she was born and raised in L.A. and now lives in Georgia. But one time, Camille was driving and Camille honked at a car or Camille yelled at a car and Vivian goes, "Get my honk, mama, get my honk," like that. And I was like, what? Like, she's so country. She was at our house one time and I see her like running through the den with another little girl. And I was like, what are you doing? And she goes, we were just looking for a bed to jump on. And I go, oh, well, I'm not your mother. There's one in the air and there's one in that room.
You're a great auntie. That's what aunties are for.
Very good auntie.
Yeah. So the other day, my kid was like, you maniac, you maniac. I go, you can't really, that's a mean one. So I taught him how to insult people like in a innocuous sort of way. Like, you lamb chop, you horseradish face. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like to kind of soften the blow. Because in our house, we, you know, two comedians, it's
yes,
going to be.
I know.
Yeah. I'm teaching Ellis to, you know, the letters now, F-A-R-T. I figure you do stuff they're interested in.
Sure.
And he'll learn faster.
I wonder why he's interested in that word.
No idea
I
whatsoever.
Have no idea.
When I was about 4 or 5, I remember not wanting to wear my seatbelt one day. We were leaving a store, and I was in the third row of our minivan. My dad was driving and resolved the problem in a classic dad manner. He punched the gas and then hit the brakes.
Yep.
I remember tumbling over the second row onto my brother's. Needless to say, I am now a seatbelt Nazi and won't back out of the driveway unless everyone has their seatbelts on. Keep those seatbelts high and tight. Eric, that's a good point.
Yeah, seatbelts high and tight. You should have a shirt that has that. Seatbelt high and tight. Yeah, we didn't have to wear seatbelts in my dad's El Camino when we were little.
Neither did I.
And we used to be able to sit on the A-track because... cassette holder as like a booster seat so that when we flew through the windshield we were going through the very center part basically. And I remember one time my dad got pulled over and he made me get into the passenger seat, put on my seatbelt and hold his beer because he was holding a beer.
Man, if that isn't like, was that 80s?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I remember, 80s, yeah. Dude, my dad, we used to drive down to Riverside to hang out with my uncle and my aunt and my cousins. Dude, my dad would drink with the Hungarians down there. They would get ripped, bruh. Like, housed, ripped. Uh-huh. And he's like, okay, time to go home. Get in the car. and drive home from Riverside, which is like 90 minutes at least. Mm-hmm. Fine. It was like the late 80s. And then when I turned 15, I remember he tried doing it. And I was like, I think this is against the law. Dad, are you an alcoholic? And my stepmom was like, he's not alcoholic. He wakes up for work every day. I'm like, okay, guess I'm the asshole.
Yeah. Functioning alcohol. Learn okay. that word. Yeah, we also went to the, we always went to the beer store with my dad because they would give us gum. So we would get in the truck and we were allowed to take our seatbelt off in the drive-thru because it was a drive-thru beer store. Because in our county, it was a dry county, so you had to have beer on one side, liquor on the other, and you
Why
couldn't
did they
buy it
do
on
that?
Sundays.
Yeah.
You still can't. Still can't.
But what's the utility? So beer is on...
church is on Sundays.
Oh, but I'm sorry, but beer is on one side and wine is on the other. Is that just to
no,
make it...
No, liquor is on the other.
Oh,
two separate addresses. They weren't allowed to sell in the same store.
Just to make it more difficult on the retailers? Like, was it just
I
to
guess,
make
so that
life
people
hard?
Couldn't buy, like, too much... I don't
Get
even,
too ripped.
I don't know.
Sure. Okay, go ahead. So, sorry. You
anyway, that's when we could take our seatbelt off was in the drive-thru so that we could scooch up so that the mate... make sure the guy saw us, you know? You didn't want him to forget to give us our gum. And it was the good gum. It was the PAL gum, the PAL gum.
Yeah.
That was really sweet. That was sweeter than the Hubba Bubba to me.
To you? That's not... I
lasted
wouldn't...
about 5 seconds.
And then it turns into leather.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you're like, oh, cool. I'm going to make a belt out of this later. Yeah.
So gross. All right, let's do one more. Hi, mommy. I'm not a parent myself, but I have a story from my own childhood. One Saturday when I was probably 4 or 5, we had a day of outings with my aunt and she wanted to stop at the car wash before we went back to her house. The car wash was directly across the street from her house. About 5 minutes before we get to the car wash, I tell my aunt that I have to go poop. She tells me, you can hold it while I wash the car. And then we'll go home. Turns out I, a 5-year-old, could not hold it for 15 minutes while she washed her car. I uncontrollably let loose of a giant clay textured brown. My brand new Dora the Explorer underwear, pants, and car seat cover were soiled. Then I was forced to sit in my own excrement until she had rinsed the car and took me back to her house. I give her shit today for neglecting me. Love the show. Emily, 23, Kansas. Yeah, it sounds like your auntie had severe emotional problems. Good thing she wasn't
what
your mom. Okay?
Kind of a woman washes their own car. That's my biggest... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. That's not... That sucks. Oh, my God. That's sorry.
I know.
That sucks.
Well, anyway, thanks to Michelin for sponsoring that segment. Now, also, you are a huge fan of Halloween decorations.
I'm not a huge... Yes, decorations. Not a fan of Halloween. My favorite day is November 1st because Halloween is over and candy is half price.
Oh, I thought it was like All Saints Day or something.
No,
Canadian,
no. Yeah. I love candy.
Okay.
So I like giving it away, which we're not allowed to do this year,
yes,
which I'm gonna throw it at everybody in our neighborhood. I don't care. Because we always got like 250 trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood because I live in Little Mayberry, El Segundo, and we have, you know, people drive in, you know, from
That's
other
what I
cities.
Hear.
It's
and a like, hot spot.
Yes.
Now, what's your favorite Halloween candy? Are you a candy corn enthusiast? Or are you into...
I do like candy corn.
Yeah.
But I like the chewy sweet tarts. Those are my favorite.
Those are good. The big ones, the silver dollar size.
Oh, no,
biggies?
The tiny ones, the little beads, the one that looks like peas.
Hold on. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I probably have some of my first.
Those are really good. I like sweet. I like sour anything. So that's very exciting.
Sour candies are, yes, sour candies are my favorite.
As far as I'm concerned, right next to your ranch. As far as I'm concerned, the hierarchy of Halloween candy goes as follows.
Okay.
Let's talk about the worst shit to give kids. Pennies.
Peppermint. I don't like when people give peppermints because then
it
gets too close to the chocolate and then I can taste the peppermint in the chocolate and you can go F off.
F off. Because it's like eating toothpaste in chocolate. Why would I eat toothpaste? I don't like that.
That's so funny.
That's
hate it.
That's
what Mina Kimes said. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. F yourself on any kind of a healthy option.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when people...
No wonder people put razor blades in apples. They're like, if you're the kind of kid that likes apples, you should die.
Total.
And I'm like, you're right.
Nerd.
You're right.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Raisins. Remember getting
nerds
like,
are good, though.
Nerds are good. A pack of raisins. Go fuck yourself, too.
Oh, gross.
Douchebag.
Yes.
Or like Fig Newtons. Like, remember when that asshole would give you Fig Newtons?
Did
like,
you? Ew. I remember one time, because when we trick-or-treated when I was growing up, we had to get in the car because we lived so far away from I didn't realize that was weird until I moved to LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we had to get in the car and just drive from house to house to house to house,
oh,
like all over the town because everybody lived way too far, you know, like, you know, half
space.
A mile away.
Yeah.
And so we drove to this house one time, and I go to the door, and the lady's like in her bathroom. Like, I didn't realize now she was probably so drunk at like 4 o'clock. You know, the light was still out, and she was like, hold on a second. And she came back and she gave one of those mini cereals and bags of like microwave popcorn. We're like, she just went into the pantry and then she closed the door, turned off the light. Like, nobody else.
No one else. From, here's some macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch Dallas and get fucked up. I don't need these kids ruining it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But here's my hierarchy of candies. Okay. 100 grand.
Oh, very good.
Very special. And actually particular to Halloween, I find. I don't really see those in the world.
You don't see the mini ones for sure.
Not the minis.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go number 4, Kit Kat.
Okay.
Okay. Number 3, I will take a Milky Way.
Okay. They're all chocolate so far.
Twix.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1 is a Reese cup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I would go Butterfinger.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Fuck, I forgot that.
Too late. You already said it.
Damn.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, I like
Butterfinger. Heath Bar. And then I would go
Nerd.
Like, I love those little tiny Nerds packs. The sweet. Oh, no. That wouldn't be sad.
Dude, you remember Now and Laters? How they would rip out your fillings and your... It was so gnarly to eat those. I don't even think they make
that
shit
anymore.
Now
they'll just rip out your whole tooth because, like, our teeth are so fragile and old. Fun dips. I like the single Fun dips because a big Fun dip,
there it is,
you had to use one thing for the all three.
That was gnarly.
The single ones, you got a whole dipstick for just one thing, so then you could have many, many more dipsticks.
Oh, wow.
The dipstick was the best part to me because it was the sugariest.
Yeah, I liked the idea of the dipstick. However, it always disappointed. The flavor of it disappointed. It was chalky.
Really?
I did not appreciate the flavor.
All right. Well.
I wish they would have flavored it differently.
That's where we're different. Your invention should be a different flavored dipstick.
Now, hold on. Is that your number 1, the Fun Dip? That's a really exciting idea.
The Fun Dip would be number 2, and then the Sweet Tarts will be number 1.
Sweet Tarts. I like Sweet Tarts. You know what's another go fuck yourself candy? Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, yeah,
fuck
you know,
you, and especially like the vanilla or like
the
lime.
One.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, when people give you yellow Starburst, you're like, did I do something wrong?
Or orange? Isn't orange the worst candy flavor?
Did you? Ugh. Orange is the worst.
Yeah.
We used to.
The best.
Pink
Starburst,
the light pink, yeah, and then the red, yeah, for sure.
Obvi.
They started making bags with just those colors, with
fucking,
the red and pink,
finally.
Which is so smart because that nobody wants your knock, you know, your
that
loser
isn't that
secondhand.
Kind of privileging the pink and the red. Don't all Starbursts matter?
Well, as women, I think the pink and the red, you know,
that's ours. Okay,
it's ours.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like, we used to take Al Madrigal's, you know, kids are my god kids. So we used to take them trick-or-treating in their, like, fancy neighborhood. And then we would send them, when they were little, we would tell them, give them things to say when they got to the door.
That's great. That's
like,
a good idea.
I really like your dryscaping. Or, this house is almost as big as our old one. Stuff like that. You can't even tell someone once murdered here 20 years ago. Like, just super fucked up shit.
They were
so little, they didn't know.
That is a great mom tip, you guys. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't trick or treat this year, but maybe next year. That's a great idea.
Remember
to tell
your kids to say things instead of trick or treat. That's so boring.
Yeah, boring.
Have them say something else.
Like, really fucked up. Oh,
yeah.
I like that. That's good. So, have you decorated?
I have decorated. I always.
Where do you go? Where do you get your jams?
Mostly Target, and then I get some stuff off of Amazon, and I usually go shop. It's always fun to open decorations because I go shopping the day after Halloween and get decorations for the next year.
Oh, that's so smart.
So when I open them up, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know these. I forgot all about them.
You know?
So I have like a skeleton, so he's like trying to get into my bush and in the front yard, and then there's lights. Excuse you.
Sorry.
There's lights all in the bushes. This year I have a witch, like one of those witches that's holding on to the tree, so it looks like she crashed into the tree.
I like that.
But the big thing I did last year was I bought cool light bulbs that are like, I have one that's like a spinny globe thing, and then I bought just like black lamp bases, and so I put cool colored light bulbs and all these lamps and then like spinning globes. So
it's exciting.
It just like has like a lot of light around the house. So it doesn't, I don't really like scary stuff. I don't do any like bloody stuff.
I don't like that. Especially with little kids around. It's like, do I want to traumatize them or do I just want them to enjoy a holiday? You know? Yeah. What I like when I'm on the road, we don't have, do we have them here in California, is a Hobby Lobby.
I love a Hobby Lobby.
Fuck, I love a Hobby Lobby.
There used to be one in Burbank, but yeah, Hobby Lobby's great. Because it's kind of like Home Goods, you know, like
Marshall. Yeah, I like Home Goods, too.
Yeah, I love getting stuff from there.
I get excited from Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
So when I go on the road, I will, yeah, I'll buy like all my Christmas stuff, Halloween stuff, Thanksgiving stuff, and load up my carry-on bag, essentially.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like any time of year, summer year, summertime. Yeah. So I asked you guys to send in some decorations. Let me see what y'all are doing. Did I say it right? Y'all. Oh.
Now that is really nice.
Do your best Southern Belle. I want to hear you describe what you're seeing here,
okay,
Sarah.
Well, that definitely looks very put together, gothic.
I like that.
Definitely someone that's going to hell, but in a nice dress. I like the motif. That's really beautiful.
Now, what I enjoy is the mixing of liquor bottles. So it's like, or is that potion bottles?
Looks
or?
More like a little bit of potion.
I like
you know?
That. It's a mature Halloween. Very nice. I like that. This is like a mature Halloween.
Yeah, these are all very mature decorations. Yes. Like people have money. Yeah. And they're throwing it in my face.
Ooh, I like that. I like That's that Disney. Green cauldron.
Have you ever been to Disneyland on Halloween?
Yeah. What do you think? I was goth for like 15 years. What do you think? That's what we do, bro.
Oh,
of course.
I know. I was just saying, like, they do that? The pumpkins with the Mickey Mouse face? Anyway.
Of course they do. Okay, let's see the skeleton. This one's a really nice one. Sent in by my listeners. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. That's not appropriate. I don't want to get candy out of that bowl. I don't want to get anything out of that bowl. That might be my least favorite candy, actually, that one. If I have to pick a new one, it's going to be this one that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, as usual.
As per usual. You know what I really like about this one is that it reminds me of 10th grade ceramics. And, like, I'm kicking myself that I didn't make this instead of just an ashtray. You know, like you could have gotten away with this.
This looks like an ashtray that already has a cigar in it.
That's right. Yeah, that, I like this one a lot.
Is that a piece of candy? Is that like a jelly candy?
I imagine, yeah. And they just, I don't think it came this way. Is that what you're asking
yes.
me?
Oh, I thought it was like all made at once.
Christina, I think you have the emails that correspond to
this. Oh, do I? I don't know if this was made, and they make this at Michael's Arts and Crafts just like that with a big dick. Hold on.
Hi, I'm looking for a candy dish with a boner.
Oh, here, let me get. Do y'all have? Okay, where's this? Okay, here it goes. Hi, Mommy Christina. We love Halloween here. We always decorate the yard with inflatables and spooky ghosts. We have stuff inside as well. This is my favorite candy dish that my teenage daughters decided to add a special touch to. That's what happened.
Teenage daughters. Uh-oh,
from Kelly.
Look out.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
They're imaginative.
Yep.
And the mommy knows what that is, right?
She does. Okay. This is very good. All right. What's the other third? We have a third one, I believe. Let's see. This is from Drew. My girlfriend is not a mom. We have no children. We have two dogs, but they're not really aware of holidays to my knowledge. Yeah, probably. This is really good. I like
this.
The decorating around our house is apparently just for our own benefit, and it's frankly getting out of control. For example, all of our chairs are taken up by life-size skeletons dressed as flappers.
That looks like Thanksgiving at Larry King's house.
I love it. Oh, look at this. I love Halloween, but I'm considering staging an intervention. I have nowhere to sit and eat meals. This is dedication to the cause, right? Wow. When you have like life-size skeletons sitting in your furniture, this is brilliant.
Yeah, that's really good. I like the way they're dressed too. Yeah. Especially that one has one of those thin cigarettes.
Yeah, I like those.
Those little flappers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does. Yeah, amazing. Is that Phyllis Diller? I don't know.
I wanted to ask you this before we go. Did you have a crush on a cartoon character growing up? Because we've discovered that all of us degenerates that work here and my audience, my first crush, I was 4 years old, and it was on Mighty Mouse.
Interesting.
And to this day, when I see that little rat in his yellow outfit and his red cape, no, I just, I had a crush on Mighty Mouse. And then...
Mine would probably have been something nerdy like Captain Planet.
Wait, hold on. I think someone else said that. Google
Captain Planet.
No way. Captain
Planet?
Yeah, someone wrote
it. I loved Captain Planet.
Yeah, this guy. This is last year. But look at his gear now, dude. Like, look what he's wearing. He's wearing, like, the Katy Perry crop top.
Yeah.
He's dressed like the gayest, right?
Yeah. Maybe I... Yeah. I'm looking back. It's probably not the best choice I've ever made.
But I can see it. He's got chiseled features. He's got a sweet mullet.
Earth, fire, wind, water, heart. Heart was my favorite.
Oh, boy.
Heart.
That's really lame.
Whatever. You knew it.
I didn't like this. I didn't watch this. I'm a little bit older than you, so I didn't. So I asked you guys to submit yours. This one's favorite. This is from this one's my favorite. Jesse here. One of my first cartoon crushes was, still is, Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. So much so that I got him tattooed on me.
Wow. Looking in a mirror.
Oh, shit.
That looks like a few comics at the Comedy Store.
I know. Gonna say
looking in the mirror.
This is amazing. This is really dedication, Jesse. See, my thing, my theory, like, we people have crushes on anime. You know what's funny is I just started watching this show, Beauty and the Beast, this movie with my older boy, and I rewatch all these movies now. Beauty and the Beast is way fucked up. Here's the deal, man. First of all, the Beast kidnaps
yes
the dad. Kidnaps, straight gangster kidnaps, and then she comes, the daughter, to rescue, and she's like, I'll take his place, my dad's place. And the Beast is like, all right, but you gotta stay forever. And she's like, okay. So it's already an abusive relationship, right. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that number one of an abusive boyfriend, is that they prevent you from seeing your friends and your family and they want to control you?
You know, when I lived with R. Kelly, I didn't feel like that. I felt like I could leave whenever I wanted to. I just didn't want to leave.
Right. But in Belle's case, she's not allowed to leave. So that's like number one of an abusive relationship. They isolate you from your friends and your family and your daily life. And then at one point, she wants to look around his castle. Mm-hmm. And she fucking lives there. So why can't she? She stumbles into the wing that's forbidden. And he rages at her, like, get the fuck out of here, you stupid bitch. And she's like, what? And then it's not until she rages back at him and is like, don't you tell me what to do. And then he's like, oh, shit. All right. And then he's like nicer to her. But I think it sends a very messed up message to girls, like, you can change him. You just got to hang in there. He'll get nicer. If you're just nice enough to him, he'll be nice to you. It's like, that's one I'm not really. I believe Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is feminist because she uses her feminine wiles of cooking and cleaning to get a place to stay with these seven dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know what I mean? So she actually earns her keep.
Okay.
And she wants to get rescued by a prince. She says on the very top of the movie, I'm looking for a love. Is there anything wrong? Yeah.
Whatever your goals are. I think when it comes to cartoons, I think my theory might be holding up, that what all women genuinely want deep down is just to be picked up.
physically
lifted up. Like, we like to feel light and tiny.
That's
and like
so
lift
true.
Me up. That's why we love Dirty Dancing.
I know.
But like, even Mighty Mouse, he can pick you up.
I know.
You know? Captain Planet, he could pick me up. And I think it's just like,
so true.
Make me feel so little and small and like fragile. You know, because I feel like, especially women like us who we have to be the alpha all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sometimes you just want to come home. I want to be the beta. Pick me up.
Yes.
Act like, you know, I am supposed to do your bidding or whatever. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you just like, you just want to be the beta, and like being lifted up.
Always.
By a big, strong man feels cool.
Always. I mean, I have to say, like, I'm an alpha in the streets and a beta in the sheets, homie. Like, when I get home.
Absolutely.
I switch this off and I am like, I bake cookies, I'm baking pies, I'm decorating the house. I'm a wifey, and I enjoy that role. There's nothing wrong with being a good wifey and loving the feminine stuff.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I think it's super healthy. I'm the same way.
Yeah, and especially having children too. Like, I really feel bad for stay-at-home moms, even though we're all currently stay-at-home moms. But like, this shitting on women who choose to be home with their kids, it's like, dude, that's a really, it's so fucking hard, first of all. It's really, really hard to stay home and just dedicate all your time to your children. Mm-hmm. But those who do, I'm like, you guys are heroes. The women that can do that are just
You know
amazing.
What? This process of being quarantined with my son, who's a newborn, like, it's made me realize something. Like, it's made me to my core realize why The Bachelor works.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
go ahead.
I was always like, why are all these women so obsessed with him? But if you are trapped in a house with a man and all you're thinking about is him,
right?
There's nothing else to think about. There's no outside. You can't go anywhere else. You can only think about him all day. Of course you're going to fall in love with him. I don't know if I would have fallen in love with my son had it not been for COVID.
No, you definitely
I'm just kidding. But yes, I think what my point is that, like, stay-at-home moms, it's like insanely difficult.
It
and
is.
It's been a very tough ride. And so I'm very impressed whenever women say they do it. I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, it's given me a deep appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also some women, like our nanny that helps, like she's just wired for the torture of two boys. Like, she never breaks. I've never seen the bitch be like, all right, enough. Like, I do it.
Yeah.
I am like, okay, everybody shut up. Like, I literally have said that sentence in the house. Yeah. Stop asking me for shit.
Right.
Because I'm like, I cannot take it, because literally... Mommy, 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 mommy. And they'll both start going
off. That's just
mommy,
Tom.
Mommy.
Yeah.
Mommy, where's the mom? Can I have water? Mommy, can I have lemonade? Mom, can I have my vitamin? Mom, 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 mom. And I'm like, I'm going to change my name to Dad, because nobody ever asked Dad for shit. But that's enough where it makes me crazy. And I'm like, I guess it's people that become caregivers for children are just wired to not, like, let it make them completely insane. I don't know. But then I also had guilt when I first brought in a nanny. You just said you just started with yours. Any nanny guilt? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, anytime. Well, first I had to just get over the fact that she was going to kidnap my son. When
oh my God,
there.
I had that too.
I
still do sometimes.
I was like, I got a picture of her driver's license.
Uh-huh,
I'm not going to be gone more than an hour just in case I need to set up a perimeter. Right. And, but she's like tiny and slow. Like, I could outrun her.
No, I actually had an instance where my nanny, this is the very beginning, took my baby, my infant, out to, like, show him to a neighbor in the front. And she asked me if she could. And I was like, yeah, totes. And in my heart, I was like, she's going to steal him.
Yeah.
Someone's going to steal my baby. And I ran out and I was like, hey, I'm just checking on you.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Right.
Because I was so nervous. I mean, I have acted out many times. I've been like texting, are you guys coming back yet? Uh-huh. Were you at the park? You back? I did it today.
Yeah.
I'm like, I miss Julian. Are you guys coming back?
Mm-hmm. No, I know. It's psychological because you're
psycho.
Like, we also, there's so many movies and documentaries and like documented TV shows that come on all the time of like kids being, you know,
dude,
like Amber Alerts. And you're just like, it's not, I think it's healthy to have, you again, be skeptical constantly of just being like, you know, just checking in. I also just want you to know I'm going to be checking in.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? And our nanny, she's very sweet. I was like, but you're going to have to nanny me for like the first month because I have not been away from him. And like, he's totally fine. Like, he's just like, cool. You're wearing a necklace. I love necklaces.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in love with you now. Like, he's just
it's an easy temperament. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. He's very chill. But like, I'm like, she's like, that's fine. Like, we'll just take it slow, whatever you want. You know, she's very good. So, but there was a lot of guilt of just like letting someone else raise him or be in his life or bringing in someone and or just going back to work and like feeling like letting myself know that it's okay, I can go back to work and it's okay and healthy, and like I just need balance in my brain that way. And then also like thinking of someone rocking him to sleep
makes me crazy,
you know. That's like I know I'm gonna have to work late and I'm not gonna be home to do that. You know, so like over the weekend before she started, I'm just like crying every time I'm putting him to sleep because I'm thinking of someone else doing it. And it's like, it's hard. Yeah. Especially when I've had him all to myself way longer than I anticipated. I thought I was going to go back to work after like 12 weeks.
Right. And then this whole world ended.
And I can't imagine having had to go back to work after 12. Not when breastfeeding and pumping and like I had all these freckles.
Oh.
I didn't realize you got so many freckles when you breastfeed.
Oh, yeah. I think those are called, what's the one on my boobs?
Even deer get them because when deer have spots, that means they're breastfeeding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, I have skin tags. Those are sexy too. That's from pregnancy and all that stuff. Freckles when you breastfeed. Oh yeah, your hormone. It's all hormonal. It's all hormonal. It's so nutty. Yeah.
So they've started going down, but they were like dark brown when I first started.
Wow, yeah. Wild, man.
Less and less. Yeah.
Well, the thing you remember too is like you've put in the good time with him. And could you imagine that women, by the way, going back to that topic of 12 weeks postpartum. It's cruel, first of all, that they're like, oh, you go back to the doctor and he okays you or she okays you for sex. It's like, no, no, no. First of all, that's like the last, that's like the big appointment, right? Yeah. And I'm like, can we forget about that for now? Mm-hmm. Your body is so broken at 12 weeks. I can't even imagine having to get up and go and like work
even
real
just physically, because I had to have a C-section because my baby was so big. Yeah. They wouldn't let me in at my age. They didn't want me to give birth to him naturally, and I don't know if I would have been able to because his head was like in the 99th percentile. And that's okay, so like now they don't have to film the attic scene in Jojo Rabbit 2 in my vagina, so it's fine. But like but it was hard for me to like not go into labor, like mentally having to just even deal with that. It took me months to get over that.
That you didn't go, you mean you didn't, that I didn't feel contractions
yeah,
and
that
all
I
that.
Didn't have him naturally. It was a very difficult thing. It was a difficult decision that I had to make like a month before he was born. And when you have an incision and like it's incredibly painful, like you get gas in like weird parts of your body because when they slow you back up, you have air left. And so I'd have like this air pocket in my shoulder that would be like so painful. And it's just like got to work its way out of your body because when they close you up, they obviously close up air in there.
That's wild.
It's
I did
wild.
Not know that.
It's like, it's so awful. And then it's so hard because now you have to get up like 5 times a night. But getting out of bed is the hardest thing because you use those muscles.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you sit down or stand up. Oh, it was just like, and so you're reminded of it. So it's like, you can't even get over the C-section because every day there's a reminder.
And are you still in pain? Is there still?
I still feel like he loves to stand on that part of my stomach,
always.
Of course.
Wait until you're pregnant. If you get pregnant with your second one, your first one will kick you in the belly 500 times a day as you're like doing anything. Like, okay, good. That just killed the baby. Thank you. It's so horrible. Elbowing you, jumping on you.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've never thought of that, that if you have a C-section and a scheduled one at that too, there's really, I feel like it might be so sudden. Like you go from being super, super pregnant. I'm miserable. Get this out of me. And then it's just kind of quick. Like
so fast.
They put you on, like they don't put you under, they keep you awake,
they
right?
They keep you awake, but it's your whole body's numb and it's 45 minutes and like within and 45
it.
Minutes and you're out. But then like, there's all this stuff they don't tell you, like that, your body starts convulsing afterwards when it's coming off the medication. And then also I had a really bad time passing blood clots because normally the afterbirth will help you do that. But like, I didn't just pass that net. So they were like constantly having to come in and push on my stomach with the incision and like push it all out, you know? And I remember like, I finally decided, this was like 2 weeks after he was born, I finally decided to like get out of the house for the first time, and we went to Whole Foods, and as we were leaving, I was like, oh my God, and like some giant clot just like fell, and I had just like, it looked like a crime scene in Whole Foods. I just like lost all this blood. Like I'm like running to the bathroom, you know, like drip, drip, drip. And this is like right when COVID's about to start. So like everyone's like,
excuse me.
Yeah, you're not wearing a mask.
Yeah, right, the fucking mask. That is nuts.
Yeah, it was great. I just like, there's so much about it. I did not.
But you don't have the psychological thing of like the wind down and the wind up to like labor. Because labor is also this nice, it's not nice, but it's a gateway to like, okay, this is coming to an end. This is one stage and now I'm going to enter into a new thing. And you literally, there are quote stages of labor to, I think, help the mother prepare emotionally, physically, mentally. The body needs to go through the opening, the cervix dilating, everything widening, and then everything contracting, coming back. And gosh, I didn't even think of that you don't get, you don't really get to go through.
No, I feel like
stages.
I didn't have the whole experience.
Well,
you know?
I guarantee you had your whole experience. I think that, but I, you know what I mean? I feel like birth is birth. Just get that fucker out and make sure that you're safe and make sure that you, everybody's healthy.
Well, somebody, yeah. But somebody told me that a C-section is the baby's way of saying he wants to meet his dad first. And I thought, that's kind
that's
of
sweet.
Because he'll definitely want to meet me the most. So he might as well meet his dad first. And then,
but I mean, psychologically, it's got to be jarring.
It was very psychologically hard. And then it was even harder because your body doesn't really, you didn't go into labor. So you, for your milk to come in, it takes so long.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I'm not sure if I, like I barely, I, it was so hard to produce milk for me. I was like not I one of those.
Yeah.
And so I was producing like half, he was already so big. There was like no catching up to him ever because he was 10 pounds on the dot. So it was like, he needed so much milk. So he was on formula, like, so he was like half and half formula and breast milk, like up until about 6 months.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so much. It's so much. They don't tell you. Anyways, I'm so grateful for you coming. I really am. I'm so happy for you that your life has really turned out spectacularly. And I'm so happy for you. And I'm so proud of you. And listen to her podcast, This Week in the 90s, with her beau, Chris Brockman.
Yep.
Brockman. Wow, that sounds like a, it's like a Simpsons name. Isn't someone Brockman?
Yes, yes.
Anyways, I love you so much. And anything else? Any final thoughts and words?
No, I love you more. Thank you so much for having me. You're my favorite person.
You're my favorite person. You had meningitis, too, from poo-poo.
I'm still your favorite person, even after that.
All right, until next time, stay cool, moms. My mom's where my mom's, where my mom's at. Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at. Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at. Where my mom's at podcast. With Christina Peay.